Have your Bibles this morning. Book of Daniel. I want to show you this morning how that sometimes God takes time and uses his servants to reach the hearts of people. Now, we would like to see people saved like this. We would like to get a chance to share the gospel with someone, and they immediately recognize their plight without a Savior, without a home in heaven, and want to get it settled. But most of the time, that's not the case. And I want you to see, we're going to look at chapters 3 and chapters 4 as to what God did and how God used his servants. Now, here this morning, if you're here and you know Christ as Savior, you're a servant of the Lord. And Brother Allen this morning said something that, I agree 100% with. We're his servants. We've been bought for, paid for with a price. And so you and I want to maintain the best we can our health so that we can be a blessing and so we can be a servant. We want to do our best to work hard at work so that we can have the opportunity of giving to help be a blessing to missions around the world, to be a blessing to our local church, to be a help to people. I was at one of our widow's houses yesterday just visiting, and she mentioned, she said, how's everything going in your house? Well, that light bothers me there. It just something wrong with it. I don't know why. And I said, well, could we fix it? And she said, well, sure, I'd love for you to do that. So I met with one of the men this morning and said, hey, would you go with me and let's fix this widow's light? Without us learning and paying attention in our jobs and working together, it's hard for us to be able to be a servant. And so I want you to know that the three Hebrew children in Daniel were taken out of their homes. Apparently, the parents were killed. They were brought to Babylon. They were given new names, a name according to the gods of Babylon. And then in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I haven't made enough progress in my desire to have one world religion. Anybody ever heard of that? He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a big image, but he didn't tell anybody about it. In other words, they knew he was making this great image, but they didn't know why. So if you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 3, verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Now I'm going to take just a minute and run through it very quickly here. It's 90 feet tall, about 8 or 10 feet wide, and it's made out of gold. So can you imagine in the valley of Dura, plain of Dura, you'll notice that way there could be a lot of room around it for hundreds of thousands of people to come and be there. Keep in mind, he's got this master plan. He is tired of this God worshiping, this group of people worshiping this God, the Jews worshiping their God, and so he wants to put them all in together, and so he's going to pick the God. I'm going to put an image sort of like me. And this is going to be our new God. And so he makes this golden image. And notice he says, I want everybody to come to the dedication of this image. Now, no one knows what this image is for. It doesn't appear in Scripture. So they're all kind of wondering, what is this thing for? Wow, it's beautiful. Wow, my goodness. It's in the middle of nowhere. I remember in Dallas, Texas, I don't know how many years ago, 50 years ago, they built DFW Airport. And it was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you had to drive and drive and drive to get the airport. And I said, why would anybody do that? If you've ever been to the Denver Airport, it's in the middle of nowhere. Why would you do that? Well, they built it out there so that over time, people can get to it, but then they've got plenty of room around it. Well, that's exactly what he did. I'm going to go out there and build me this image and this great religion. I'm going to start it, and it's going to be around where everybody can get around it, and it's easy access. And so then he invites everybody. Notice, not invite them, required them. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. Now keep in mind, the provinces, when it became Medes and Persia, had 127 of them. So this is a worldwide meeting. Called everybody in. Has anything to do with leadership in Babylon? And you'll notice, if you would, he says, to come, the last part of verse 2, to the dedication of the image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And so they all came, and he said in verse 4, I think this was the surprise. Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And he's got this fiery furnace over there bellowing out a fire. And everybody goes, I don't know what to do. And the three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now, you wonder why was Daniel not there. I would imagine Daniel was off on some, as an ambassador in a foreign country, because there's no way Daniel would have purposed in his heart to die over the food issue, the dietary issues of the Jews, and not have refused to bow if he were there. So for whatever reason, we don't know why, but Daniel is not there. And so the three Hebrew children are there, and they look at each other, and they says, well, we can't do this. And everybody else is, man, we're going to do this. So you know the story. They all bow down. Verse number 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound, notice they fell down and worshiped, verse 7, the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. It's almost like he made up this new religion, didn't tell anybody about it really, and then bring them all out there and said, okay, this is who we're going to worship. He was trying to get one world religion. To stop all the fighting. The Crusades were over different religions. Let's try to stop all this fighting and this bickering about Baal and Ashtaroth and the bull god and all the different gods of this world. Let's just make one God and we all worship it. We have unity. And so he had no idea that there was one God that he didn't know. But he was about to be introduced to him. And you know, you and I, many times we're at work and there are people that, you know, that they worship different gods. Maybe they worship a god of good works, or they worship the god of baptism, or they don't look at it that way, but their god requires things. Or they have various sacraments that they have to do to earn favor with their god. And so there's all kinds of religions. And yet, you know, we look at them and we say, I just want them to know the true God. And so here God is saying, I've got a way to let my name be known to everybody in Babylon. But it's going to take great faith for you three Hebrew children. Could he have used us? That's really my question. Could he have used you and I? Would he have trusted me to say, I can't bow down? I worship Jehovah. I can't pray to that God. Well, look, if you do, you can live another day to serve him. Well, there's a point in there where you and I know what God asks, and we have to stand up and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to do the right thing. And that day came for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So they blow the trumpet and everybody falls down. And these three guys are standing there kind of looking at each other. Maybe their arms are locked with each other. And they said, Lord, you got to protect us. Lord, we're yours. And then some of the religious leaders, because they had been lifted up into a high position, they began to point them out, got back word, got back to Nebuchadnezzar that they had refused to bow. Well, he took it at a personal affront to him, He said, I told you this is a new religion. I'm starting it up now, and I want everybody to get on board. And you'll notice, if you would, look in verse number 16, in verse number 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut. Now, there are hundreds of thousands of people here. And so for three men, he says, I'm going to give you a second chance for three men. Can you imagine the pressure? Talking about peer pressure. Peer pressure to do right. As a teenager in school, well, you know, so-and-so's cheating, or so-and-so's stealing answers, or so-and-so's, you know, doing drugs in a public school, or, oh, they're doing this or that, and, oh, you know, they're bad-mouthing their parents. I don't want to be a part of that. This is peer pressure. So you'll notice in verse number 15, he says, now, if ye be ready that the time I blow the trumpets again, and notice in the middle of verse 15, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the fiery furnace. And he said, heat it up seven times hotter. You know, you just throw wood on the fire and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. How many of you remember the fire pit and the time we were going to roast marshmallows out at the property several years back? Paul Bears was here, and I said, now, Paul, I want a good fire so we can be able to roast our marshmallows. We had sticks about that long, and so we had this big fire pit. It's out there. So it's gone now. They're getting ready to grade the property. And so he said, okay, Pastor, I'll take care of it. So, you know, he got some wood and doused it with the chemicals necessary, not gasoline, but, you know, charcoal fluid. And he put it on and he soaked it real good. He had all kinds of wood just leaned up against each other. How many remember that? It was like you're trying to roast your marshmallow like this. I mean, it was awful. It was a raging fire. You couldn't hardly, it melt, burn you into your stick off. I mean, it was awful. And I looked at it and he said, well, Pastor, I got it hot. I got it what you wanted. I said, yeah, but I didn't want it this bad. And I think Nebuchadnezzar had exactly the same thing. Heat it up seven times hotter. And man, that fire was bellowing out. He didn't realize he was going to kill his own men. So he looks at them and he says, now you've got one more chance to bow down. And notice what they said in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. O king, we don't need any time to think about it. We don't need a second chance. We can't bow down. Notice what he says, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. One way or another, either we're going to die in the fire and go home to heaven, or he's going to spare us from the fire. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They just point blank said it to him. Well, that, you know, they never got a chance to blow the trumpet. You'll notice if you wouldn't, in verse number 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visions was changed. And he said, heat it up seven times hotter in verse 19. He commanded the most mighty men, just take them down and throw them in there. They never got a second chance. They didn't need it. But I want you to notice his design, he had designed a new religion. But these men were trusting the Lord to deliver them if he wanted to. But he was determined to make them worship his God. And, you know, that's going on today in many things. I mean, in many different ways, they want to remove our God, our society, our government. They want everybody to get along. And I understand that. And Christians are supposed to be the sweetest and most gracious people on the face of the earth, but the people with the most backbone. And the people that stand up for what the Bible says and what is right. And so these three Hebrew children are thrown in the fiery furnace. And I want you to understand, God is working in Nebuchadnezzar's heart and he does not know it. And of the millions of people, he's got three men to make the difference. And they don't know it. And so as God is using you and I, we don't know, but when we just do right, when we just love the Lord and let the Lord change our hearts and lives and make us into his image, and we're pleasant when other people are not, and we're loving when other people are not, and if we're forgiving when other people are not, and if we say, Lord, help me, I want to be a witness, I want to pass out tracts, I want to share the gospel, I want people to know about how wonderful my God is. And if we're different, they'll listen. But there has to be something God does that allows us to stand out for people to say, wow, their God's real. Or their God's different. To hear the story of the pastor in Palliette completely turn around in 2 days. You remember when we brought it up and said, let's pray for him. Then I got up and was able to say, well, he turned around. It was from Wednesday to Sunday. It's almost like in my heart, I said, Lord, thank you. It just confirmed again that our God can do anything. Our God is able. If not, he chooses to take somebody home, so be it. But the idea is that, Lord, if you need me, I'm available. Are we available today? Are you available? As a teenager, are you available? As an adult, are you available? Lord, use me however way you see fit. You know what sometimes it means? Sometimes it means we have to suffer. And I think Christians are going to be suffering in our society soon. Did you know in Virginia, preachers were jailed for preaching the gospel back in the 1600s, 1700s? Yeah. If I did this very thing back in the 1600s, 1700s, they'd be throwing me in jail. Because the Church of England was the ruling religion. And so you'll notice that, but take your Bible and let me show it to you. They say, okay, take him to jail. I want you to understand, you and I, when you're at work and maybe you sit down and somebody sits down with you at lunch table and you begin to talk about the things of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord, that may be all you can do. But you plant the seed. Do you know what these three Hebrew children did? They planted the seed that their God was real. So he takes them and says, throw them in that fiery furnace. Well, his great men, they put on their hose and covers, their asbestos suits, and they go down. But the closer they got to the fire, just like it was when we were roasting marshmallows, it overcame the men and they died. And the three Hebrew children fell into the fire and they got to walking around. And you know the story. God protected them. And I want you to notice the effect. Now watch this. He didn't get saved. But notice the effect. In verse number 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He was shocked. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? He was so stunned that he said, didn't we cast three men into the fire? Hey, wasn't that what we did? He's asking. He is so shocked he can't even think clearly. And you'll notice he says, and they answered and said to him, the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did he know that? You know this? When you and I step foot inside heaven, nobody's going to have to say, that's Jesus. You and I are going to see him and say, oh my. What a savior. What a king. And we're immediately going to want to fall down and say, Lord, I worship you. Everybody here, the Bible says, every knee will bow. And it's not like the Lord is saying, okay, bow to me. It's like he's saying, look, I want you to love me. I want you to have so much respect for me that it's just, we're just in awe of him. We cannot get that concept in our society. It's in the Middle Eastern concepts where they get down and they bow on their knees. They pray on their knees, but it's not in our concept. So you notice that here Nebuchadnezzar, he sees that the four men walking around, and notice what he does in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. How did he know that? Because he saw something in their lives that he had never seen before. Notice, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king counselors and all the men gathered together and saw these men. It's almost like they went up, they went, wow. They came right out of the fire. They were shocked. And notice what it says, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Now, our God is able to do that with us, with COVID, with the flu, with everything else, if he so chooses. But remember this, God makes no mistakes. God uses all of us. He's able to give us a job for the rest of our lives. But if he does not, and we have to look for a new one, we have to get on our knees and pray, then God makes no mistakes. As long as you and I don't do something foolish and we work hard and we're a good testimony, we lose our job, God says, I got another one for you. The Lord says, I will take care of you. And the children of Israel, these three Hebrew children said, we don't have to think about this. We know our God is able to provide for us. But if he chooses not to, that's okay. I think that's the part we have trouble with. If he chooses not to. I know he can heal my wife, but he chooses not to and takes her on to heaven. How am I going to respond? I know he can give you another job, but if he chooses not to, how am I going to respond? You see, people are watching you and I. And God is using his servants. Folks, when you get down the dumps, when you have a pity party like Elijah, God can't use us. We're just like the world. Do you understand God needs us to be steady and faithful and do the right things on a daily basis? God needs every one of us in this room. He needs every parent so that your children can see you walk right and do right. He needs every teacher to see a child needs to see that teacher do and walk right. God is needing everybody in this room to make a difference and impact in our society. He chooses to use us. What a privilege. But I'm afraid many times I let things affect me. I don't want that. Lord, I want to be just like you. Lord, I want to be in your image. I want to trust you. When something comes in my life, Lord, I want to trust you. Today, remember this. There are people watching you. Now, here's Nebuchadnezzar. Unsaved, grossly unsaved, if that's a term. And so then notice, if you would, in verse number 29. Now, keep in mind, he designed a new religion. And he determined everybody was going to worship this new religion until God delivered the three Hebrew children. And he backed up and said, I'm going to make a decree. Because, notice his decree in verse number 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Now, you know what he's saying? Their God is a mighty and powerful God. He's not my God, but he's their God. The Lord has just started to plant the seed of maybe there is one God that can do anything. And Nebuchadnezzar is not ready to admit that yet, even though he's seen the miracle of miracles nearly. But it's affected him. He writes a letter for his whole kingdom and says, everybody, you respect this God. I write a decree that you respect this God, that you don't say one word against this God. He lifted the Lord up and said, nobody says anything about this God. He's too powerful. And then you'll notice, if you would, verse 30, then the king promoted Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Then he lifted them up. Now, we like that part. I do. But the promotion comes after the faithfulness. Sometimes after the suffering. Now, in this case, They were thrown in the fiery furnace. And I would imagine Meshach told Shadrach and Abednego, said, you know what? It's pretty cool in here. I may need to take off this jacket. It's a little bit cool for me. And Shadrach says, yeah, you know what? It's a little cool in here. But I don't understand it. Man, this fire is raging. But wow, I'm a little cool. And then Jesus walks by and says, I told you I'd take care of you. I got this. And then Nebuchadnezzar's eyes and all the people's eyes, and even that didn't break his heart. So then, I want you to notice the story. God decides. He said, okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to work on your heart some more. So notice, if you would, in verse number, chapter 4, verse number 1, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, flourishing in my palace. I was rejoicing in all the money that I had. I was just having a good time. And all of a sudden, you'll notice verse 5, I saw a dream. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord spoke through dreams because his word wasn't complete then. And Daniel had to interpret the dream for him. And you'll notice, if you would, he did interpret the dream, but he was terrified to tell the king. Look in verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, again renamed after the gods of Babylon, was astonished for 1 hour and his thoughts troubling. And you'll notice, then the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation of trouble thee. Well, it wasn't that he didn't understand the dream. He was horrified at what the answer was. Notice, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. Oh, king, I wish the dream was for somebody else, not you. Your enemies, not you. But notice, verse 20, the tree that thou sawest, which grew, was strong, and whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, where leaves were fair. And it goes on in verse 22, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. And he saw a tree that grew up and all of a sudden then came by and cut it down. And cut it down and just left the stump. And it's almost like an offense to Nebuchadnezzar, but it's Daniel saying it. And Daniel has got his respect. And so you and I have to earn the respect of people before we can speak to them. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 25, that they shall drive thee from the men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And listen to the reason. Keep in mind, God is working on Nebuchadnezzar. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee. 7 times or 7 years. Notice this. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, your heart is so stubborn, it's going to take 7 years for you to eat and live like an animal before your heart breaks. How many days did it take before Jonah's heart broke? 3. The Bible says, when I suffered affliction, and when I basically came to myself, I said, okay, how long did it take the prodigal son? We don't know how long it took, months and months and months, but when he lost all of his wealth and he came to eating with the pigs in the pig pen, he says, oh my, I'll go back to my parents. His heart broke. God knew what it was going to take for him. So he puts Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego over here and gets his attention. Then he gives a dream, and Daniel interprets it. And I want you to notice this. I want you to see the grace and mercy of God. Does anybody know how long it was that Nebuchadnezzar knew he was going to suffer like an animal for 7 years, and he did nothing? Look, if you would, verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, verse 29, at the end of 12 months. God gave him a year. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from thee. I want you to understand, God gave Jonah 3 days to repent, and he pretty well did. God gave Nabal 10 days to repent, and he didn't, and he died for it. God gave time for Saul to repent, and he didn't, and he died for it. And God gave Nebuchadnezzar 7 years to repent, and he did. Now, do you understand the period of time, the years that it took for these three Hebrew children, and God used them, and then God used Daniel, and then God used the circumstances around Nebuchadnezzar. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding turned unto me. Did you get that? He said, I looked up to heaven. It's almost like he's saying, okay, Lord, I got it. Notice, if you would, finally, he made a decision to trust the Lord. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 37. You'll see in the first verse we talked about, verse 34, he said, I lifted up mine eyes, and it's like, here's what he said, verse 37. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his judgment, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And you read commentaries on this passage, and they say it looks very clearly that Nebuchadnezzar was saved this day. After all of that, God finally said, broke through his heart, and he said, okay, Lord, I praise you, dear Lord. But I submit to you that without Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar would have died and gone to hell. Without Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar would have died and gone to hell. Now let me ask you this question. I'll close. Who is it in your life that God says, without you, I can't reach them? He needs you. He needs me. But we have to make a decision. Lord, I am all yours. You can use me any way you want. That's the reason when Mission Conference comes, and I challenge everyone to surrender, to do whatever the Lord wants. If he wants you to go to the mission field, say, Lord, I surrender to you. That's all God wants. Most of the time, God just wants us to hold out our hand and say, Lord, I am yours. He just wants us to be palms up. He doesn't want us to move. He wants you to stay where you are. Brother Allen's case and Lana's case, he wanted them to move. There was somebody to reach there that nobody else could reach. He wanted Kristen Dow to move. He wanted the gardeners to move. But I'm saying to you is that God looked at most of us and said, stay where you are and shine. I need you. Every teenager, you're going to regret not living right if there's some teenager there that you don't know is as unsaved. And God does, and he's trying to work on their heart. And God says, I need you. God is looking for servants. He's looking for wives that say, Lord, I'm yours. Help me to train these children for you. I submit to my husband. Husbands, I submit to you, O King, and let's work together to train our children for the Lord. We are yours. I don't need my way. She doesn't need her way. We need your way. Where are the homes that are totally dedicated? The marriages, Lord, we are yours. Today, there's a Nebuchadnezzar in every one of our lives, or we wouldn't be here. And God wants to make a difference, but he doesn't wait forever. I got to thinking about people in my life, that what would have happened to me if they had not been there? I want you to understand. I love my mom and dad, and I thank the Lord regularly, daily just about, that I was in church on the day the Holy Spirit convicted me so I could go forward and trust Christ as Savior. They did their part. Now, it broke up, but the Lord used them to reach my heart, to reach my brother's heart. My mother was faithful no matter what my dad did, and it reached our hearts. It caused us to be faithful. I want to be faithful like my mother was. My mother was reading her Bible and devotions till the day she died. Lord, I want to be like that. She was a light for me. I'd come home, I'd hear her praying in her bedroom. She was a light for me. Everybody in this room, I want you to understand, there's a Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he may not be the king, leader of a kingdom, but he's important to the Lord, because the Lord says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The whole world is not worth anything to me compared to your soul. So there's nobody in this room that God doesn't say, I love you. I want you to give your heart and soul and sin to me that I can forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven. Nobody in this room can say, I'm not very important. God says, everyone's important. And I have a purpose for everyone in this room. I guarantee when we get to heaven, we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar best friends with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and with Daniel. Guys, I wouldn't be here without you. When you and I step foot inside heaven, I want to ask you this. Who's going to say, I wouldn't be here if it were not for you, Jennifer? I wouldn't be here if it were not for you, Kevin. I wouldn't be here if it were not for you, Lance. I wouldn't be here. God wants to use every one of us, but we have to say, Lord, not my will, yours be done. We have to decide to serve it. Will you do that? Somebody's soul depends on it. Will you let the Lord use you, no matter the cost? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm reminded, God can't use us if we're dirty. Maybe your decision this morning is, I'm going to get rid of my bitterness. So God can use me. I'm going to get rid of my lust so God can use me. I'm going to get rid of my covetousness so God can use me. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. If you're here today, could you come to me this morning right here at the altar? If you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know that. Would you come? And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with something in my life. Come talk to the Lord about it. He is able, the Hebrew children said. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.